You are driving down a deserted country road on a dark night. You're hungry and you're tired and you don't have much money or food. And you turn your headlights on bright and you drive carefully because it's a narrow road and the trees are very close. And suddenly, up ahead of you, about 100 yards away, a huge canvas bag falls from the sky and lands directly in the middle of your narrow road. And you slam on the brakes. And you sit there thinking, what in the heck? And you stop and you get out of the car cautiously and you walk up to the bag. Visions of every horror movie you've ever heard of wander through your head and you're waiting for something to come out of the bushes and jump on you, but it doesn't. To your absolute surprise, the bag is filled to the brim with groceries, fresh fruit, vegetables, canned goods, all carefully padded against the fall. And you look around in every direction, but your vision is limited by those lights on your car. That's all you can see. Everything else is dark. And all you can hear is your car engine running quietly. There's no sound. There's no clue. Just you and this bag of groceries in the middle of nowhere that shouldn't be there. And you stand in utter confusion. Why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? What happened? How did it happen? Bags of groceries don't just fall from the sky. You know that. You know that little rocks aren't unicorns. But it's there, and you can touch it, and you can taste it, and you reach in, and you get an apple, and you take a bite, and it's real. And eventually you're forced to shrug your shoulders and drag the bag back to your car and admit you just don't know. And there's no other information available. And you go, my God, it's a miracle. Because it's the only thing you have to say. A car sinks into 10 feet of dark, muddy floodwater in full view of an NBC News crew. There are 4 people in the water outside the car, so close that they are touching it. One is on the hood, 2 on the passenger side, 1 on the driver's side, physically touching the vehicle. The windows are up, the doors are closed. And you watch as they try to break the window with the stick, as the man kneeling on the hood keeps reaching and hitting the window, and then all of a sudden he doesn't. And all of a sudden, she's there above the water, and we can see her. Not some weird side view, not some odd hip shot camera, but a full-fledged professional news crew filming at close range. We see her, and we see that action in the same narrow field of vision, the same light that we saw those flying groceries. We can only see this much. We see what's not obscured. We make guesses about what happened in the dark. We make guesses about what happened under the muddy water. And when we don't even have enough information to guess, we step back and we throw our hands up and we say in desperation, it's a miracle. Only sometimes we don't. And maybe you all have met somebody like that. Sometimes we stand in front of that bag, and instead of saying it's a miracle, we cross our arms, we look at it, and we say with absolute certainty, that couldn't have happened. That did not just happen. Couldn't have happened. That's it. That's impossible. World does not work that way. Garbage bags of food don't come out of the sky. It didn't happen. So when it's me, I take the bag because I'm cheap, and I drag it to my car, but then I talk about science. I point out to everyone, I couldn't see into the darkness. That must mean there is absolutely some rational explanation. It never occurs to me, it's just as likely there's no explanation whatsoever. I can't see into the darkness. I go back to that same road in the daylight and I look around. I waste about 6 hours of my time trying to see footprints and broken sticks. I go home and I Google how many planes flew over that day and did any of them have weak cargo bays? And I look so long and so hard for that rational explanation that I know must be there, that the fresh fruit in the bag goes rotten. And I refuse to eat the canned goods because things like this just don't happen. And I say this while I'm looking at the bag in front of me. Writer Jandy Nelson says, you have to see the miracles for there to be the miracles. Are you ready for a miracle? I don't know. I don't know. In her book, Bird by Bird, Anne Lamott has a great quote. She says, E.L. Doctorow once said that writing a novel is like driving a car at night. We're back to that car. You can only see as far as your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. You don't have to see where you're going. You don't have to see your destination right at that minute or everything you'll pass along the way. You just have to see 2 or 3 feet in front of you. It's right up there with the best advice on writing or life I have ever heard, Lamott says, and it's true. You-you-ism. We exist in a gray area between two absolute extremes. We have the misunderstanding that we are you-you and we can believe anything on the left hand. Boy, that's broad. If one of you comes in and tells me you believe the great squirrel is going to make you fly around this room, no. No, you can't believe that. I'm just telling you. But we got that on the left. And on the right, we've got responsible search for truth and meaning. And some people take it so far that they say, well, that means you can't believe in anything that's supernatural or anything that you can't explain, forget you. The minute the unicorn disappears from the board, the minute it becomes an invisible unicorn, that's it, you're off the board. That's not true either. We're somewhere in the gray area that accepts both those viewpoints as the absolute outer edge of us, but not as our middle. So I don't believe in the right or the left. I don't believe in telling you that it's absolutely okay and responsible to believe in the great squirrel and his flying. And I don't believe in telling you that you can't believe anything that you can't hold in your two hands. I believe in those headlights that Doctorow mentioned. I believe that a responsible search for truth and meaning calls us to recognize that, yeah, we can only definitively see what's in the headlights. We can only make out the factual truth of some things, and it is our responsibility to not deliberately misrepresent those things. So I can admit that that canvas bag came out of nowhere. I saw that. I can't say as fact that a giant bird dropped it, or that a gang of kids were trying their new catapult a half a mile away and launched it. I have to be careful the minute the unicorn comes off the board. But this is where the way we talk about faith comes in. I can say responsibly that I believe for myself, I believe God sent it, no matter what agent he used. I can say I believe it was dropped by squirrels or angels or a gang of friendly Mormons up in the tree. I believe. Not I know, I believe. I'm pretty sure, but I'm not going to tell you I saw it in black and white. I don't know that. I can truthfully identify that my faith causes me to have a belief which is not verifiable by fact. That is still responsible. That is me saying, here is what I saw in the light. Here is what I saw above the water. And here is what I believe about the dark places where I could not see. Here is what I believe about what happened under that water. And faith, what we know about what we cannot know, is where the miracles come in. no matter what religious belief you have. There's a Catholic scholar, John Dominic Crossan, who writes a lot about the historical Jesus. And the man is wonderful. He's still alive. You can friend him on Facebook. He's on there every once in a while. Brilliant. And he gets a lot of stick because he says some pretty straightforward things. He looked at the Christian Bible, the book of Matthew, chapter 8, when Jesus of Nazareth comes face to face with a leper. And let me tell you, the rules of the time, when biblically they said somebody was a leper, we meant there was no doctors who were checking for Hansen's disease with little skin scrapings. What they meant was we looked at your skin and there were eruptions there and you seemed ill. And they called you a leper and they made you unclean ritually. They said you're dirty, you're unclean. And that had real meaning. You couldn't go to the temple. You couldn't make a sacrifice. They didn't want your stuff. You were unclean. You died of loneliness about half the time as much as you died of whatever was erupting your skin, which may have been psoriasis. They didn't know. It's all leprosy. So Jesus meets this leper. And the leper got his courage together. And in the view of all the crowd that was wandering around after Jesus, who had been preaching and teaching, the leper got down on his knees and said, if you will, if you would, I'm not telling you what to do here, but if you would, make me clean again. Didn't say to him, heal my leprosy. He said, make me clean again. Take away the social stigma. Take away the weight. The implication is take away the illness also. But take away this walking into town and having people yell unclean. And Jesus took his hand and he touched him. At that time, to touch someone ritually unclean, someone dirty, someone contaminated. You didn't do that. The thought was that it would jump onto you. It makes you unclean as soon as you touch them until you go ritually wash and still until you take care of yourself, you're also unclean. They spread. Except Jesus didn't care. He said, yeah, I'm good with this. I will. I would be clean. In view of all these people standing here, I'm touching you. Be clean. I see you as not dirty. Now the writing says immediately his leprosy was cleansed, but this is the part in the darkness. This is the part under the water. I don't know that. But I do believe he may have said, you're clean. And then he told him, don't go tell anyone, just go to the priest and take an offering. So he was telling somebody who would have been turned away repeatedly from the temple and who would have turned himself away from the temple because he felt dirty. You're okay. Come back in the door. Be welcome. I'm telling you, you don't have to stand up and say, hey, Jesus, fix this. You're okay. It's your authority. Take the offering and just go in. Don't even pause to ask somebody for permission. You're okay. We don't know if that leper in Matthew really had leprosy. We don't know if it was gone afterwards under the water, in the dark. But Jesus told him he was no longer outcast, and he believed it, and others believed it because he did. And if they welcomed him back into the temple and they welcomed him back into life, we have a miracle. Whether or not he still had leprosy, one minute he's over here and the next minute he's back in the circle of his people. All because someone said, Okay, you're clean. That's a miracle. Responsibility is separating the faith from the fact, identifying which is which. We can have both responsibly. The mundane can be absolutely miraculous. I can listen to our second reading today, and I can go outside, and I can hear a bird singing, and I can see its feathers, and I can look at its eyes. That's all in my headlights. That's all above the water. It's fact. The bird is there. But my faith can go a billion different ways. And it matters if I am ready for a miracle, because if I'm not, if I'm so busy cataloging the facts that I miss the wonder, the miracle will be gone before I ever see it. The groceries in the bag will rot while I'm trying to figure out how they got there. The bird will fly away before I notice him. He'll fly away before I take that deep breath and say, isn't it miraculous? Isn't it unbelievable that millions of years of evolution and creation have all come down to this moment when I should be standing next to something so beautiful? Thousands of people have met, have been successful at having children, one set of coincidences and accidental meetings, one after another, generation after generation, until I was produced. And my decision to be in this spot at this time came at the same moment as nature pulled that bird here. Isn't it a miracle? I'm going to put down my bird book for a minute and see the bird. I'm going to put down my phone and stop snapping the picture and listen to what he sounds like. Isn't it a miracle? Are you ready to look around you with that sense of openness to joy? Ready to accept what you can see in your headlights? Absolutely. But wonder about all the possibilities outside the beam, even if it's just for your own amusement. To know that sometimes what matters the most is just accepting that there might be possibilities out there. And that each of us has faith in a different version of what happens in the darkness and under the water. And we can still rejoice in the good things. We can still rejoice in the groceries. We can rejoice in the woman's head coming above the water. Even if we disagree on how she got there, it's okay. We can all agree that food for the hungry is good. Even if some of us say it was God and others are looking for the airplane, we won't lose sight of the miracle. We have to be ready for the miracle that the food is there no matter what. It's there. I can touch it. A large piece of the responsible search for truth and meaning is refusing to claim scientific fact when we mean personal faith. But that doesn't make faith worthless. Be ready for the miracle, even in the worst of times. See the good where it is. And then one more thing, and this is an important thing. Metaphorically, go out and walk through the darkness beside the road, carrying the bag of groceries on your back that you bought, and wait until you hear the car coming, and toss it on the road, and run away as fast as you can. Don't wait to be identified. Realistically, go buy that same bag of groceries and take it to a family in need. Go take lunch to the man sitting beside the road with that weird sign. Ask his name. Ask his name. Say to him, you're clean. Welcome in. Sit with him while he eats. Eat with him until he feels like a person one more time, until he can go to the temple himself on his own authority, because you saw him. You saw him as clean. Buy the groceries of the mom crying at the register because she can only afford diapers or milk, but not both. Buy a pair of shoes or a tent for Standing Rock. Rock a foster child to sleep. You pick. But be the miracle. Be the miracle. You ready for a miracle? Amen.